News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Boys and Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Text line 251-343-0106, or if you want to use that to call us, you can do that as well here in the 8 o'clock hour. Give us a ring and join the show. Got a lot of things to get to here in the 8 o'clock hour. We can slow things down and look at things more with an opportunity to discuss, and we'll try to do all of that. I think the main thing that the whole nation is looking at right now is the behavior, I guess you would say, of the president of the United States. And he was on the big stage yesterday.
The big boy stage.
Yeah, the big boy stage. How about, did even the White House call it that?
I thought, I heard someone say that the White House was calling it that. Then they said, no, it was more of a media creation.
Yeah.
Regardless, we all kind of knew what it meant. You know, it's time for him to be a big boy.
Yeah.
Which that sounds like something that Jill Biden would say to him. Like after the debate, when they had their little post-debate rally that was off to another room, and they had all their supporters there, and she went, you did such a great job answering all of the questions.
Really?
And it was like, are you talking to... our president, or are you talking to
your grandchild?
A second grader. But anyway, that was the debate. That was a while back. He had the NATO conference this week. He's had an interview with Stephanopoulos, which really didn't calm any nerves among Democrats. And then last night, everyone kind of decided, all right, this is the moment. Will Biden show that he has some ability left, or is it all the way gone? And I think, he had a very low bar to clear. Let's start with that. If the debate was the bar, he had a low bar to clear.
And, yes, that's true.
And his speech, before that was a teleprompter speech where he was talking about NATO and Russia, and he didn't really miss too many beats on that, relatively, compared to how he normally is on the teleprompter. So teleprompter thing went fine, and then he started taking questions. We'll get to that, but the two biggest flubs from Biden yesterday that you've no doubt already heard about or will be hearing about, the first big flub came as they were wrapping up the NATO conference, and you had all these leaders there, and you had Zelensky, who was literally standing beside Biden as he, the president, Biden, decided to introduced Zelensky there at the very end of the summit, and this is how he chose to do so.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
And during the press conference, he actually referenced that part of his day. I think this was the clip where he referenced part of that day. And he also kind of went after his staff here at the end of this clip. I think this is the one where he references the Putin thing. Let's hold on. Let me play this right here. This is it. All right. A reporter here asks Biden. He says, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of these leaders that have been in town this week, there have been reports that they aren't satisfied with your ability, your mental ability as president. And this is how he answered that.
Officials here are saying off the record that your decline has become noticeable. Hasn't this now, frankly, become damaging for America's standing in the world? Thank you.
Did you see any damage to our standing in my leading this conference? Have you seen a more successful conference? What do you think? And the Putin piece, I was talking about Putin, and I said, and now, at the very end, I said, here, I mean, Putin, I said, no, I'm sorry, Zelensky. And then I added five other names. Look, guys, the idea, anybody suggests that we haven't had an incredibly successful conference. How many times did you hear in that conference, I know it sounds too self-serving, but other leaders, heads of state, in thanking me, saying the reason we're together is because of Biden, because Biden did the following. Look, folks, this is I thought it was the most successful conference I've attended in a long time, and find me a world leader who didn't think it was.
Yeah, well, we'll probably see some of the response from those world leaders now that
that's the thing that I'm interested in, Dalton. There they were. The world leaders were there. We were like saying, okay, press is saying one thing. International press is saying certain things.
Our celebrities are saying one thing.
Celebrities. George Clooney, who we all hold in high regard.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying things. What are the world leaders saying? And I guess that's still kind of waiting. Right?
No, there have been leaks, as that reporter referenced, you know, in all these articles that have come out this week.
Yeah.
Where they've said, you know, I mean, even yesterday during that NATO conference, the Italian Prime Minister, Meloni, I think is her name, they were waiting for Biden and Stoltenberg, the NATO leader, to show up together. And I guess they were running late, and she did this, like, massive eye roll and then looked at her watch, which I don't know if she was wearing a watch or not. She was just kind of doing the, can you believe how late they are right now?
Wow.
So I think they are in some ways fed up with the way things have been going. But, you know, what are they going to do? This is the U.S. and they are NATO, right? And they depend on us for
everything,
basically. Yeah. Yeah. The other big flub was very early on in the question and answer portion of the press conference. When Biden came in back in 2020, he described himself as a bridge to the next generation of Democrats, and that he chose a vice president who he felt would be ready to act as president on day one if she needed to. And he was asked about that, and then the big flub came around.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
Yeah, so he accidentally called Kamala Trump, and Randy texted in. He said, Biden's idea is genius. With Trump as his vice president, Trump could step in and finish Biden's next term and then run again in 2028. I don't think that was a part of Biden's plan there.
But, probably not.
He was in another question, just like that, when he was asked, would Kamala fare better against Trump, or what would you do if you find out she would fare better against Trump? And the whispers came here.
You earlier explained confidence in your vice president.
Yes.
If your team came back and showed you data that she would fare better against former President Donald Trump, would you reconsider your decision to stay in the race?
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win. Me.
And he kept trying to wrap the presser at the very end, or his staff did, Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Yeah, wrap it up and get it done.
He just was not getting the message. He was just standing there.
You see that. Think about that, Dalton. We see that. We could be at a press conference. We could be at a cocktail party, whatever, and you could watch some of that going on, and you're watching how uncomfortable that this whole thing is, and you can see that the people are trying to get Mr. X out of the room, and he's completely unaware. This is the president of the United States.
Right.
He should be kind of aware of those cues.
Mm-hmm. And he also, you know, the questions he took, he was very upfront that he had a list of journalists he was going to call on one at a time, and he made his way down the list. That was, to me, the most, I don't know, I wouldn't call it anxiety-inducing, but the most maybe thrilling part of the press conference. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how he'd remember who the last journalist he asked so he could go to the next one after rambling for about 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
He got to all of them that he was supposed to ask on. No Peter Doocy questions. He did talk about one of his excuses for performing so poorly during the debate. Remember, he said he'd been traveling too much prior to, and he actually blames his staff here.
I always have an inclination, whether I was playing sports or doing politics, just to keep going, not stop. I just got to just pace myself a little more. Pace myself. And the next debate, I'm not going to be traveling in the 15 time zones a week before. Anyway, that's what it was about. That's what it's about. And by the way, even with that, I love my staff, but they add things. They add things all the time. At the very end, I'm catching hell from my wife.
And that question he was answering, he was asked about his bedtime, which was one of these things that was put out there that, hey, the president's really only good from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. He was asked about that.
Presidency is the most straining job in the world, and it's 24/7.
How can you say you'll be up for that next year, in 2 years, in 4 years, given the limits you've acknowledged that you have today?
The limits I've acknowledged I have?
There's been reporting that you've acknowledged that you need to go to bed earlier and your evening around 8.
That's not true. Look, what I said was, instead of my every day starting at 7 and going to bed at midnight, it'd be smarter for me to pace myself a little more. And I said, for example, the 8, 7, 6 stuff, instead of starting a fundraiser at 9 o'clock, start at 8 o'clock. People get to go home by 10 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about.
I will say I endorse his idea that we have events that end earlier.
we both feel that way.
But that was his response to the old bedtime story that came out this week. A couple more clips I want to play for you. It was a very political press conference. It was not so much a presidential press conference. Outside of him answering questions about his own abilities, he went after Trump and he went after the Supreme Court very hard last night. And here was a part of that where he makes it pretty explicit who they're going after for the remainder of this campaign.
But do you think our democracy is under siege based on this court? Do you think democracy is under siege based on Project 2025? Do you think he means what he says when he says he's going to do away with the civil service, eliminate the Department of Education, make sure? I mean, we've never been here before. And that's the other reason why I didn't, you say, hand off to another generation. I've got to finish this job. I've got to finish this job because there's so much at stake.
And last one I'll play for you here, when talking about why he is staying in the race, he said something that, well, I've said previously, a lot of us have, that the polls aren't always accurate, but you get enough polls that look one way. Anyway, here's Biden talking about that.
How accurate does anybody think the polls are these days? I can give you a series of polls where you have likely voters, me versus Trump, where I win all the time. When the unlikely voters vote, he wins sometimes. The bottom line is all the polling data right now, which I think is premature because the campaign really hasn't even started. I mean, it hasn't started in earnest yet. Most of the time, it doesn't start till after September, after Labor Day. So a lot can happen. But I think I'm the best qualified. I believe I'm the best qualified to govern. And I think I'm the best qualified to win.
So there you go, a bit of a roundup of the hour and 5 minute press conference he had last night.
That was late starting, very late starting.
They just kept delaying it. You know, yesterday morning we reported it would start at 4:30. By the end of the morning show, they'd pushed it back to 5:30. By the time it started, it was 8 p.m. Central. So
wow,
from the beginning of the day, they'd moved it back 3.5 hours, which means he was staying up later, right? He wrapped it up Eastern time, right around 10:05 Eastern. And I thought maybe that would be enough, like, I thought it was good news for the Republicans because he went out there and I thought he did a decent enough job that he would be even harder to kick off the ticket than he already was. But even more Democrats came out after and said, no, it's time for him to go after that press conference last night. And I've been trying to keep up with how many in the House. I think you have two in the Senate, two Democrats in the Senate that have called for him to step out. And the count I had yesterday for the House was around 15. And then after last night, another three more, I believe, called for him to step out. So 18 Democrats in the House now calling for that.
So the response to Biden last night, Dalton, and this is the Washington Examiner I'm looking at. Of course, that's a very conservative newspaper. Here are some of the headlines from last night. Biden survives big boy press conference, ends day bruised. Okay. Biden stumbles through big boy press conference. Biden relies on note cards during brief remarks with Zelensky. So those are some of the headlines that are responding to their coverage of Biden last night for, you say, minute and five?
Hour five.
Hour and five. So you know, not really, and I don't know what the mainstream is saying or the MSNBC this morning or Morning Joe and all that, so I don't have any idea.
Well, you had Joe Manchin, a senator, who referenced yesterday. He said, we'll know by this weekend.
Okay.
So they were kind of waiting for this NATO conference thing to end, and Manchin says, we will know by Monday whether Biden is really, really sticking in like he wants to do or whether they'll find a way to force him out. And the Biden team clearly knows where Obama's money lies right now,
yeah,
and they think that he is working with his you know, a lot of the Obama hangers-on to get rid of him. Here was just part of the Morning Joe yesterday. Hold on.
The Biden campaign and many Democratic officials do believe that Barack Obama is quietly working behind the scenes to orchestrate this. If Joe Biden believes that, that's not going to get him out of the race any faster.
Obama and Pelosi and then and Clooney, a growing number of representatives asking for him to step out.
Question. If you've got to ask the president of the United States about his bedtime, should he be president of the United States? One thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
is that rhetorical?
It's rhetorical. Haston Willis with the Washington Examiner wrote a piece that will get to around the corner more on the Trump side of things and how he's responding.
And a lot of text to get to as well.
Very good. 822, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with a few showers and thunderstorms. Highs this afternoon will be in the mid-90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a few showers and thunderstorms and afternoon temperatures in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
This WKRG News Break is brought to you by Roy Lewis Construction, delivering on their guarantee to provide a commercial construction project that stays on task and on budget. For guaranteed quality from start to finish, call Roy Lewis Construction for your next commercial project.
I'm Shimani Baker for WKRG News 5. A scam involving pine straw is bad. It's something we covered a couple years ago in Fairhope. Now city officials say scammers are back at it again, where they go door to door offering pine straw at low prices. They sometimes say they have leftover pine straw from a previous job, but after finishing the job, the scammers hand over a bill that's much higher than what they said. Then they try to pressure people into paying it. The Foley Police Department is taking a new approach to show folks what it's like to be an officer. They recently launched their Cardio with a Cop program. You can learn about law enforcement while seeing what it takes to pass their physical training test. To sign up, look for a link on the Foley Police Department's Facebook page. Alabama A&M's bid to buy the Birmingham Southern College campus has been rejected. In May, Alabama A&M offered to buy the Birmingham Southern campus for $52 million. Last month, they made a second offer of $65 million. Birmingham Southern closed the
Your workplace needs a welcoming space for employees to relax with a cup of coffee or tea and share creative ideas. And Azalea Coffee Service can create that space for your office. Azalea Coffee Service provides everything. Coffee machines, plus coffee, teas, water, even Keurig and pantry items. Need vending services? Azalea does that too. Throw out that old nasty office coffee pot and replace it with Azalea Coffee Service, the only locally owned and operated coffee service in the Mobile area. Call 675-9178 or online azaleacoffee.com. This tip for the outdoorsman is brought to you by SunSouth, your source for quality John Deere equipment with 21 locations, including Tanner Williams Road in Mobile and Highway 59 in Foley. SunSouth, equipment for those that do.
Looking to catch a fierce, aggressive predator? A spotted bass will outfight a largemouth any day. Spotted bass don't quite grow as big as largemouth bass, but they can top 11 pounds. With a greenish-white coloration, a spot looks very similar to a largemouth, but with a slightly smaller mouth and more black splotches along its lateral line. The defining feature, a rough tooth patch on its tongue, distinguishes the species. An Alabama bass looks almost identical to a spotted bass, but grows a bit larger. Spotted bass share most state waters with their largemouth cousins, but they like more current. People often catch spots around deep structure in the main channels of rivers, flowing creeks. Spotted bass or Alabama bass might hit anything that would tempt a largemouth, but they like smaller, more streamlined offerings like jerk baits, spinner baits, and shad pattern crankbaits. Spots also like colder water, so they stay more active during the fall and winter. This is John Felcher with your Outdoors Tip, brought to you by FM Talk 106.5.
To experience climbing into the legendary yellow seat of a John Deere, you first have to walk through the door of your neighborhood SunSouth, where you'll find a friendly, knowledgeable staff ready to help you find the right equipment so you can work smarter and have fun getting it done. Right now, you can drive off in a John Deere 3 Series tractor with 0% financing for 84 months. Visit your neighborhood SunSouth today. SunSouth, equipment for those that do.
Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Expires July 31st, 2024. Friendly Hedge Copeland Personal Injury Attorneys. Traffic center slow along Highway 90, Halls Mill and Range Line. Also eastbound I-10 between Range Line and 65. We're seeing heavier pockets of traffic. A good ride now as you're traveling downtown from the tunnel and across to Bayway. A little bit of radar through Spanish Ford, but no other wrecks in the roadways. Hedge Copeland has over 60 years combined experience protecting the people of Mobile. They specialize in personal injury, wrongful death, maritime, nursing home abuse cases, and more. Hedge Copeland Personal Injury Attorneys. For a free consultation, go to HedgeCopeland.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
Thank you, Wet Willie. Weekend, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 on Mobile Mornings on this Friday morning. And Dr. Bill said, well, I think his ranking for the weekend, the weather scale wasn't bad. It's just going to be really hot. It's going to be sunny, but it's going to be really hot. So
maybe some afternoon showers.
Maybe, yeah.
High heat index.
Yeah.
And stay safe out there on the water with all this heat. Of course, you have the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament on our side. You got the Blue Marlin Grand Championship on the other side. And then next week, we roll into the ADSFR. So it's going to be hot. Texter here said Biden's whispering is creepy. And Texter here, a song by Winona. Winona Ryder, I guess. Grandpa, tell me about the money you've stole. Tell me, how do you get out of this hole?
Winona Judd.
Winona Judd. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Tell me how you get out of this hole, Grandpa. How'd you know that, Dan? No, I'm just joking. Grandpa, maybe you need to go to bed.
Please, Dad.
Something ain't right in your head. Grandpa, now you're falling down. People are calling you a clown. Grandpa, it's time to stop. You don't need to go till you drop. That's pretty fitting.
Yeah, I forgot that those were the lyrics of that that song, even though I played it a million times, but I didn't realize how if those are the real lyrics, so yeah. That's pretty close.
Texter here, why drop out of the race if the election is rigged? Joel, let's see, Joel, lots of texts this morning, said, that is one creepy dude. Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, I guess he's doing it for effect, the whispering.
Having an effect.
I had a friend of mine that, seriously, when his boy was little, when he really wanted to get his attention, he would, he would calm it down.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd watch that little boy look up like, uh-oh, daddy means something here.
Yeah.
So I think, in a way, that's what he's trying to do. It's not coming off. Ronnie pulled it off with George a lot better than Biden's doing with our country.
And you can, in broadcasting, which really, anytime you speak to the press and you got a camera in front of you, you're broadcasting.
Yeah.
You use things like silence, even though we don't want too much silence. You can use it as a tool.
Yeah.
And whispering as well. So yeah. I don't know if that's his intent or if he even knows he's whispering. Josh says, it's depressing to hear our president speak. What would George Clooney think? And we know now what George Clooney thinks.
I'm looking at a headline. This is an opinion piece in the Washington Examiner that says, who the heck cares what George Clooney thinks? So maybe we'll get to that article. We are going to get to one from Haston Willis about the way Trump is playing all this right now. That's on the way.
Maximus says, I'm kind of torn. Biden is a disgrace on the world stage, but yet he needs to stay so we can whoop him in November. Well, anyways, he says that a lot. He also says, what's the other one? He used it in the debate so many times.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his go-tos, right?
He needs his go-tos. Mm-hmm. That's the point. It's 8:30 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Right now we talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great, and it's going to be hot, but should be a nice weekend out on the water for a bunch of folks. Got tournaments. It is fishing tournament season, and I know there's some big boats that are being taken out there, and they need big trucks to pull them, and you have just the prescription there at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. We got a great selection of three-quarter-ton and half-ton trucks. I mean, I pull my boat with a little half-ton truck, so... come on by and see us. Like you said, it's going to be a great weekend. A lot of people out there fishing. I hope everybody be careful. And we're going to be out there working. And if you need anything, just give us a call, 251-476-4141. Like I said, we got great selection, got some low interest rates. I mean, what else can you ask for?
You guys, you cover it all. And while I'm partial to the trucks, of course, really anything anyone's looking for, from work trucks to SUVs to nice sedans, you've got them all.
We've got every bit of it, and we've got a great situation going on up in Nashville right now. We got some high-end stuff up there, a little lot we got. And so if you need anything, I mean, some wild stuff, we got it. Just give us a call, 251-476-4141.
Thank you, Louie. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Louis Arata, you'll find him and the whole team at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
It does seem like a long time ago that Trump and Biden went head-to-head in 2020. Mm-hmm. But, and there's, you know, so much to take in with all of that, and we've been through it, and we can rehash it if you want to, but basically just remembering as Biden was presenting himself to the country coming into office or trying to win the election, he was like the calm head. He was going to be a unifier.
The uniter,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, uniter, unifier. He was going to, lower the level of chaos, mm-hmm. right? He was going to be the adult in the room, on and on and on. It's like everything has kind of been reversed here as we are heading into this election.
Mm.
Because now all the attention is on Joe Biden for all the absolutely, I would say the wrong reason, aside from a complete scandal that would be unearthed by the press, which is like, that'd be nice.
Which, you know, honestly, this whole thing is keeping that scandal from being discussed more. The actual scandals, this is a scandal as well.
Right, but. Right. This is a scandal of where is the president of the United States mentally, is he capable? So that's kind of like kept all the other potential scandals that remaining in a closet somewhere.
And you know the press doesn't want to talk about those scandals.
No, they've
missed the boat on those as well.
Well, and they really haven't even so much as apologized for the way that they prosecuted Trump in the press, mm-hmm. Prior to the 2020 election. So, okay, we know all that. So but now we're watching something that we didn't like that. We were texting that night, or that was like, what do we look? We've never seen anything like that mm-hmm. debate performance. We've never seen anything quite that shocking. And every political pundit and or voice or texter or whoever that's been on this station since has pretty much said the same thing. Like, I don't know what to make of that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we all knew that it was bad for Biden already. Yep. I think the most surprising thing about the debate was that they would let him up there in that condition.
Right.
Right?
His handlers.
And that it was, I don't know if that's as bad as it gets for Biden, but it was close to it if it wasn't as bad as he gets mentally.
Right,
you know?
Right. It was as bad as it could get for the nation. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just shocked by it.
And that's why last night was such a low bar to clear.
Yeah.
Because we've never seen anything like that.
That was the bounce back. Yeah. He had to bounce back from an 11-run inning. You know, he was on the mound and he gave up 11 runs or mm-hmm. whatever. Last night he gave up four. Haston Willis is a writer for the Washington Examiner. And like I said, if you have to ask the question to the president of the United States about his bedtime, mm-hmm. right there, should he be president of the United States? Willis talks about, he says, President Joe Biden was elected in 2020 in part, here we go, with a message of being the stable, reliable alternative to the chaos of former President Donald Trump. Lately, those roles have been reversed. Trump has largely avoided the spotlight since the now infamous June 27th presidential debate. So Willis first talks about the way Trump is playing this by being kind of quiet.
Yeah, this is very much out of character for Trump. He has stayed pretty quiet. If you kind of look through the headlines, for most of Biden's presidency, if you went to a major news outlet, went to their website, you would see more stories about Trump than you would about Biden. Even 2 years ago, that was the case. That is totally reversed since the debate. All the coverage now is about Biden. And Trump, has been uncharacteristically quiet, and some would say uncharacteristically disciplined. He has made sure to stay quiet, I think, on purpose, to let Biden get all the attention. Obviously, most of this attention on Biden is very, very negative for him. Should he even be in the race? Is he all there? There are questions about if he has a Parkinson's or some other sort of disease. Trump has been totally fine with letting Biden take that spotlight.
So far, he has been kind of like very measured, very which I think is the, you know, for Trump's sake.
Mm-hmm.
People that want Trump to win the election, I think that's what he needs to do.
And then, of course, you've had, you know, they've shifted the spotlight onto this Project 2025
yep.
And attacking that, maybe because Trump had been so quiet.
At the Supreme Court.
And then, you know? And they've shifted to the Supreme Court, and then Trump disavows Project 2025.
Right.
And then you get the GOP party platform leading into next week's debate, and it doesn't have the same level of pro-life promises that have been made in mostly all the other Republican Party platforms. And so he's catching it from the left and independents who are saying this Project 2025 is wacko, which it's a 922-page paper. There's mm-hmm. some wacko parts in it. I think generally if we went the
page
route
by
of
page.
Project 2025, yeah. a lot of that would make America a lot better. But then he upsets a lot of the pro-lifers
by not
putting it on the platform. So I'd say that would be the main controversy he's faced these last couple weeks.
So where are the Democrats in all this? And Willis addresses this in his piece in the Washington Examiner, Dalton, because he says, you know, this is not like, I think it was Dingell. Debbie Dingell from Michigan. She's like, we got to stop talking about Biden. Well, it's like, you know, when there's a rumor or in your neighborhood about the one lady that lives at 2829 Grand Street, and the rumor is so big, everybody's talking. You can't stop. Well, that's what Biden is right now. He's not even a rumor. You've got to address it. He's the president of the United States, and his performance was so bad. And then, of course, last night was, I don't know, it was not the complete bounce back that he wanted, right?
Right, right. He had some moments. I'll say that last night. He had some moments.
And he had, yeah. And so anyway, where are the Democrats on all of this? And that's what Willis is talking about here.
Yeah. The Democrats, I think, are frustrated about this, too. Maybe that's another sign of how it's working out well for Trump. They want to be talking about Trump. They want to talk about how he's a threat to democracy, his views on abortion. They're trying to tie into this thing, Project 2025, which is this 900-page document prepared by the Heritage Foundation and some other conservative groups are trying to tie Trump to that, but it's not really catching on. I thought Debbie Dingell, representative from Michigan, had a good quote to CNN last week. So we've got to stop talking about Biden. We need to get back to talking about Donald Trump. So, I mean, making it very clear there where they want the focus to be, which is back on Trump, back on the chaos, they say, that surrounds Trump. And you remember in 2020, I think that was part of Biden's appeal, right? He was sort of the relatively boring, reliable, safe alternative to Donald Trump. And again, those roles have totally reversed, where Trump now seems like the sane, reliable one, and Biden is the one facing the chaos.
Yeah, and that's because Biden simply is in public speaking off the cuff, and it doesn't look good. And there was also a focus group that The Daily Show had of black voters.
Six black voters, yeah.
And how did that go?
Three said they'd vote for Trump. Three said they'd vote for Biden. And then the clip I saw, it had the three Trump supporters talking about why they'd vote Trump. And I'd play it for you. I don't know if I edited out if there were any cuss words. This is The Daily Show we're talking about here.
Yeah, but right.
One of the
that's
Trump,
not how they expected it to go.
One of the Trump supporters said, listen, Democrats have been making promises to black folks Forever. And then they don't always or often follow through on a lot of these promises. And there was references in that interview to illegal immigration and how many illegal immigrants are coming into these cities and, kind of displacing a lot of the black people and where they've lived forever.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? There was a song from Stevie Wonder in 1973 called You Ain't Done Nothing. You know what it was about?
What's that?
Democratic politicians
really?
Coming to the city and saying, well, politicians, but they were the Democrats, coming to the inner city around election time saying, hey, we got your back.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to prove. This is going to get better. This is going to get better. Just vote me in.
Yeah.
So the fact that that was 1973, that song came out. Stevie Wonder was a kid himself. He was like 20 years old. He saw it, or mm-hmm. not pun him, no pun intended.
Right.
But he recognized it. And so I think it's I guess the black Democrats never felt like they had an alternative, I guess. But it's been something that's been talked about for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the biggest shift in the polls have been black men. moving off of Biden and onto Trump. But this these are polls,
yes,
right?
So, yes. But I do see more conservative blacks on the internet taking a stand, having podcasts, and talking about all of these, you know, it's almost like it seems like plain as day. Like, yeah, there's going to be, I've been feeling this shift, maybe because I've been reading things from black authors and black conservatives and been more aware of those opinions than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's not just, I don't think it's necessarily something new, but I think it's now, it's more proliferated. There's more black conservative voices out there.
Yeah.
And so I'm hearing them, I'm reading them. I could definitely see some sort of a shift that could affect this election.
Yeah, and there's quite a few on Team Trump, right? I mean, yeah. You go Byron Donalds, Tim Scott, and plenty of other black conservatives that have been along with Trump on the campaign trail the whole way, Ben Carson. And I think that's actually probably helping to shift those numbers as well. They kind of lay it out.
Yeah, right? And I think the three or four of them, it wasn't just Donalds, I know, was involved in that. They almost did kind of a tour. They went mm-hmm. city to city, and they talked to people. And I think, you know, the Democrats, they've just done a very poor job.
Yeah.
All this time just kind of keeping the a lot of communities tied to government helping them out. And that's the only way out. And there's a lot of black conservatives now are saying that's not the only way out. In fact, that's the worst way that we should be, that's as bad as we could act for ourselves and our own interests.
Well, one last article regarding this national election and how things are going in the polls. I wanted to get to this yesterday. I didn't have time. So new polling, and this was from the National Public Opinion Reference Survey, published by Pew Research. So this isn't, you know, this is Pew Research. Mm-hmm. They might lean one way or the other, but they're not like, it's not like you're getting a poll from the Heritage Foundation, right? Or from some far left polling company. And I've noticed, and maybe you have too, that these newer generations, so I'm millennial, I think, if I looked at the polling, millennials probably, it might be pretty even, but they're probably still more liberal than conservative, although that may be changing. But this Generation Z, which is, I had to look up these years because I always forget. So millennials were 81 to 96, if you're born during that time span.
Okay.
Generation Z born between 97 and 2012. So a pretty heavy portion of Generation Z now eligible to vote. Generation Alpha is the newest generation, 2013 to present. And if you've looked around online, it looks like this newest generation, especially Generation Alpha, everyone is either going to be, you know, AOC or
the other way,
or J.D. Vance, mm-hmm. right? And that seems to be the way things are splitting out. And they've got this poll from Pew Research. Young people appear to be flocking to the Republican Party. It says this Pew Research poll has drawn significant attention from analysts because it shows the GOP leading among those under 30 years old. This survey found that among all respondents, 47%, I think this was just 30 under, 47% said they were Republican or leaned Republican, 46% said they were Democrat or leaned toward the Democrats. And notably, this poll was commissioned before the debate. This was from February 1st to June 10th. They polled
before the debate.
They polled 5,626 U.S. adults. New York Times chief political analyst said by subgroup, the headline is age. NPORS found the GOP ahead on party ID among 18 to 29-year-olds. That number in the 2020 recall vote was Biden plus 20. So he was up 20 points between 18 to 29-year-olds after 2020. And it's shifted. It's Republican plus one now, 4 years later. In an earlier post, he said NPORS found leaned party identification at Republican plus one. That is the first time that this particular survey has given the GOP a party ID edge. He said that's significant, but it will affect other polls like that Ipsos poll that recently showed Trump-Biden tied. I'm telling you, the younger folks, they're seeing all this going on, and they might even be socially liberal in a sense, in some senses, which younger people generally are.
Yeah.
I think they're seeing how crazy things have gotten in the schools and internationally. They're looking at these wars that they may have to fight, you know, if you're prime or about to be in military fighting age,
you see
how everything's going on. You know, the last president didn't have any major international wars going on. I think a pretty major shift, and this is a big, big time poll as far as the future of the country.
All right. Quick question for you here, Dalton. We can all read the polls. You know, we can also read those polls. The publisher or editor of the New York Times, the news management at NBC or CNN, if they see a shift like that, wouldn't be their job to present the news in a different way?
Follow the market?
To follow the market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could see a shift in, we talked about the stranglehold that the media has and the way that they do what they do, which we don't have to get in. We know what we're dealing with. Could that possibly change because the media, money-wise, begins to follow the market?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It would make sense, but do they do what makes sense anymore?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They lean left out of a sense of duty, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, how much do these big media outlets, I mean, a lot of what they do is just kind of pressure from advertisers and donors, too,
yeah.
and much less who's actually watching their show, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a major shift. 20 points up Biden was in that age group four years ago.
Where is the shift in the way the news is presented? Mm-hmm. We haven't seen it yet.
Not yet.
We might. It's 8:52, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, time to give away some tickets here to see Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett featuring the Coral Reefer Band. The show, August 1st at the Wharf. Tickets right now at Ticketmaster.com as low as $33.50. And right now, caller number 4 at 251-343-0106. Caller number 4, check out the tribute to Jimmy Buffett. You'll get a pair of tickets for that August 1st show at the Wharf. Again, tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com as low as $33.50.
Unnamed texter says, every 4 years, you people, I guess that's us.
What do you mean, you people?
You people, I know, talk about what you've done for black people, Republican, Democrats, when in fact neither has done blank anything. Thanks. Okay, well, we're just having a discussion on this, but I guess I don't know. That's what the text line's for.
Another texter, Democrats thought they had the youth on lockdown by making it illegal for anyone to work before they were 16. The reason you do this is so they never have to pay taxes. And believe the statement, only rich people pay taxes. It also makes it impossible for them to have their own vehicle, etc. Nice to know the young people are waking up and becoming Republican. And hopefully we talk about this next week. Bill said, did I hear Anthony Weiner's ex married George Soros' son? That is right. Huma Abedin married Alex Soros.
Wow.
Anthony Weiner has a podcast, by the way, now.
Yeah, well, I won't listen to that.
High five!